We are Minutemen. We have to be prepared. The Minutemen were prepared. I think they're a much better example than I was giving them credit for originally. I just started thinking about it. Can't be a slack-off Minuteman, though. Like, is it time to go to war? Oh, wait a minute. Does anyone have a gun I could borrow? One of those three-pointed hats? Maybe? Honey, I thought I asked you to patch up my boots. I need a belt. Can we go down to the tanner and get a belt real quick? I'll be back in about, 2 hours. Is that good enough? In 2 hours, they're already going to be at the battle. In 2 hours, the battle could be over. Oh, I got my belt. Oh, phew. I left my coat at home. I'll have to walk back home another 2 hours. I'm telling you. There's no time to mess around. Now is the time to prepare. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Don't get snared. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I want to be accounted worthy. Now, I'm not worthy, but he can account me worthy. And I'm going to seek him, that I may be prepared, that he may prepare me. And this is a good time to talk about something. I don't want to bind heavy burdens on you. Like, oh my God, Paul, you're asking so much, and I can't do that all at once. Ask it in faith. It's not a difficult thing. I was listening to this man preach. Someone said, would you check this out? Now, this is Dudley Rutherford out in California. And he was talking about holiness. And it's something I missed, and I guess I kind of forgot it, about the way they lay holiness on people these days. They say, well, you believe in Jesus, you get saved. Now you're saved. Absolutely. And you can't lose your salvation. I don't know if he didn't say that part. But, they usually think of it in those terms. You can't lose your salvation. You're fixed. All right, you're done. But now, because God saved you, so which is such an awesome salvation, man, you're totally saved from hell. And you should just be so thankful that now you go out and do holiness. Now you go out and do good works because you are thankful. So it's really got to come out of your thankfulness. You've got to provide it. And I just think, and then what do people do that? Most people don't. Because you know why? The salvation they get is something they can't even feel. It's just something they, by words, have said, we lay it on you. You're saved. You should be thankful. They say you're saved, but there's no salvation. Really? Nothing has happened. How are you supposed to be thankful for a paper that's not even on paper? You know, it's like I hand you a paper that says you're saved. Aren't you thankful? You should be so thankful now that you never sin again. Now, they wouldn't say, you'll sin. Well, then what's the point about holiness? You should be so thankful that you do right and you follow God. They bind heavy burdens and they themselves never lift them. Don't be deceived. They can't lift it. They can't provide that kind of thankfulness. And no one can. You can't be so thankful you walk uprightly the rest of your life. You're not that good. If you were that good in the first place, God wouldn't need to save you. You're alive. You should be so thankful. I mean, your life is something you can actually lay hold on. I'm alive. I can see that. God, I'm so thankful. I want to live right. If that didn't do it for you, some minister saying, you're saved. Your sins are forgiven you because Jesus died on the cross. That's not going to make you thankful. And you say, if you really believed it, it would. I don't see that in the scriptures. The scriptures don't say that you obtain righteousness because you're so thankful you do it. The scriptures say that righteousness comes by the Spirit of God entering into us. And they say the Spirit of God has entered into them the moment they believed. Only thing is, nothing's happened. Righteousness is obtained by the promise of God. Through faith in His promises, we fulfill His word. God promised that I would be partaker of the divine nature. He promised. His word says things. that the grace of God has taught me that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, I should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God teaches me. It's not my thankfulness that teaches me that. So by the grace of God, by his graciousness to me, I can do these things. And how can I do them? Oh, well, you got to be thankful. You got to stir it up in yourself. It is God that worketh in us, both to will and do his good pleasure. So I pray to him and I ask in faith, God, help me do right. God. And you know, they never teach them how to seek righteousness and how to seek holiness, how to really seek it. They say they got to do it themselves and they bind a heavy burden and no one can bear it and they won't obtain it. And they ought to be strung up because they do so much harm and they are not preachers of the gospel. That's not good news. That's not good news. The good news is, now that Jesus saved you, you've got to do it yourself. Dudley Rutherford. That wicked man. You've got to read between the lines. Oh, we would say, Paul, but that's not what you said. You don't understand. If you really understood, it would come out of your mouth. But I hear, oh, this is the way election works. It's like the sun. The sun is an inanimate object that doesn't elect anything. Except, you know, oh, the clay gets hard and the butter gets soft. Clay gets hard because it is its nature. And God is not the sun. He is the creator of the clay. And we are all clay in his hands. I'm not butter. And if I am butter and my heart melts because God shines on me, why do I melt? Because there's some virtue in me by my nature? Well, who gave me my nature? Who made me what to be what I am? They understand nothing and they should not teach. Their mouths must be stopped. And I pray God, he will give us the power to stop their mouths. We will stop their mouths. We will. Time is not yet far off. We will stop their mouths. Or death will. Verse 37. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him and in the temple for to hear him. For between those verses is Mark 13 and Matthew 24. And Matthew 25. That is right there between that. Now he went out to the Mount of Olives. This was in the temple. During the daytime. A little different message. A little different, focusing more on that near fulfillment.